Blog Talk Radio.
Old pirate Jesse Rabbi sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but the woods can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. Redemption song, redemption song. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. These songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry that I was delayed getting on air. My telephone hackers would not let the call go through. I'm using a cell phone, and they are just computers. And it appears that, you know, we are surrounded by people who have a distaste for justice. Yes. We are inhabiting the world with people who dislike the idea of justice. And we know that this is the Jennifer Cobb Show and Justice for All Incorporated. And I want to thank you very much for joining the show today and for hanging in there during the delay. And today we have a vice president who is filling in for Ms. Jennifer Cobb. Are you there?
Yes. I am.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wonderful.
Good afternoon.
I apologize for the delay. And the show is all yours. You do have callers online already, and I want to thank everybody for holding while I went through the little fight with the telephone hackers. It's ridiculous. This is America, and we have people who do not want to talk about justice. However, you want to talk about it. I want to listen to you, and I'm going to turn it over to you right now.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Nasira, and as you mentioned, I am the Vice President for And Justice for All, and I am filling in today for Jennifer Cobb. However, I was not really informed about the total process of what it takes or how this process works. And so you said there are people with questions.
You have callers on the line. And so ordinarily, Jennifer just gives a little overview of her organization and Justice for All, and then she goes ahead and lets the callers speak about their issues or whatever they want to. So we're going
okay.
to listen to you give an overview.
Well, the overview is that And Justice for All is a nonprofit organization that advocates for civil and criminal cases. And so that's pretty much it as far as the nonprofit work that we're trying to make sure that everybody has a voice or develops their voice in advocating about their civil rights and human rights and all rights that we are entitled to as citizens of the United States. So with that said, just let your callers ask their question, and I'll try to respond to the best of my ability. Are we connected?
Yes, you're connected. Callers, all of your lines are open. Can you speak?
I've been speaking.
Yes, I heard you. But I have 1-930-2186-6549 and 9202. You're all on the air, and you can go ahead and speak. Is John in the house?
I'm 6549, so let me know when you want me to say something.
I'm 489-9202. This is Debbie Sapp.
Wonderful. Debbie Sapp, John. And we have also our host for today. What is your name, Miss?
Nasira.
And then we, okay. And we have one other caller as well. We have 1-930-6549-9202 and 2186. So let's just handle it like a panel today. Whoever wants to lead off, go ahead and do so. And each one of you take 10 minutes and pass it to the next person. When you have done with the mic, just say, I'm passing the mic, or thank you for this opportunity to speak, so the next person can come on. So each person, look at your watches, take 10 minutes each, okay? God bless you.
Sir, you can go first.
Debbie,
hello?
Or John, would you like to go? Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, no, my name is John going to speak first?
No, I got to talk the last 3 weeks, so I'll give someone else an opportunity.
Okay.
No,
John, we do
want to
hear from you also. I'm
just basically listening so that I can get a feel of what it is that, how the process of communication works. So I'm willing to let other people start, and then I can join in.
Okay. Well, my name's Debbie Sapp. I'll go. I have no problem with that. Like you, I'm looking for justice. I have a son who has gotten 15 mandatory years for a burglary because they hit him with a PRR, which is a prison release reoffender. He has been beaten at Swanee. He has been tried to commit suicide. He has been in every prison, I believe, almost in the state of Florida. I had him finally move to Marion CI, which Mary doesn't know this yet. But when something happened at Marion CI, I have no clue, but my son decided he wanted to go psych, and they put him in Lake CI. I went to Lake CI on Saturday, and I was informed that the Crips and the Bloods have informed me that I have to pay $100 to keep my son alive. I went and paid the $100. I called the inspector general. I let him know what was going on. Last year, I did a protest in Tallahassee dressed as a den inmate. This past Tuesday, I went to the Marion County delegation meeting, and I will read you what I said. I had 3 minutes, and this is what I said. First, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for letting me speak. I am here for justice. The Eighth Amendment of the Constitution is being ignored as if it doesn't apply to Department of Corrections. This state is run by the good old boys, so I have been told. I have a son with mental issues who has been in the system for 4 years. I have with me evidence of corruption, extortion, abuse, gassing, death, forged papers. I want to know, as senators and representative, what is going to be done about these issues. Then I had a comment for Senator Dean, and this is what I said to him. I have been to your office twice, called your office numerous times. Your secretary, Janet, informed me that you are advising me to hire a lawyer. As a state senator, doesn't this fall under your responsibility? Thank you for your time. I got no response. None. Zippo. I have been to the governor. I have called the secretary, Julie Jones's office, want to set up a meeting. I am getting nowhere. In the meantime, my son is being harassed. My son, I was told when he was in Suwannee in the year 2011 by a classification officer, told me that my son had a target on his back, and it doesn't matter where he goes, it will be fulfilled. And every place he's been in, there has been a problem. Right now, he's in administrative custody until we can figure out what's going to happen. Evidently, he was at head count, and he told them he wanted an emergency mental, he was having an emergency mental issue, and they are serving him with a DR because he interrupted head count. So I don't know what else to do. I'm like... So if you have any suggestions, I'm open for it.
Well, this is, again, this is Ms. Sarah kind of chiming in. And I know what I'm excited about here that's happening in Seattle, that yesterday I was able to view the council meeting, which is on one of the local stations. And so we have elected officials that are overseeing with the mayor and the city council and overseeing a budget and having various individuals and groups of individuals to apply to the city for funds based on a proposal. And so what I noticed yesterday, which I'm elated about, is that young people are rallying together under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, and they've done a proposal with the city to create not more jails and incarcerating young people, and how young people are kind of corralled into the prison system through whatever pipeline you want to claim. And so, you know, as a culture of young people, they're using the platform of Black Lives Matter and the fact of how investments are made by incarcerating and getting young people through whatever means of abuse and whatever other allegations into that system that creates jobs for other people. So these young people are talking about having reputable citizens that are invested in the community and the wellness of the community and the healing of the community because of previous charges against the society based on bigotry and racism and colorism and all those gamuts of unsettling allegations, because we're all human. And so what these young people are doing is saying that we have a lot of healing that needs to be done, and it needs to be done within the community, not other people coming in, using the community to create jobs for them, but for us to take charge and rally together to undo a lot of the discretions in education, in institutionalization. And I think regardless of the Constitution, that gives us a base, a legal base, to start doing the work to make sure that our young people are not toxic by bigotry and the pipeline to prison kind of, I don't even know what to say about education, because I think education is probably one of the worst platforms that especially marginalized communities could use as the leverage to better the improvement of self. Then the other factor is that when criminal behavior becomes the way of life, our young people get caught up into that. And so we really do need reputable individuals that it is not based on the church, but a respect toward other human beings, that we are equal. There are people with invisible disabilities, and that's where we play a role in not victimizing them. And children are with innocence until they get caught up in this adult dysfunctional behavior and attitude. And I'm appreciative that young people are seeing those equations and using a model to say we can make a difference. No more criminal bullcrap because of, it's really difficult to just nail why we deal with so much threat and terrorist against becoming invested adults in a society. Thank you.
Hello, is anybody there?
yes, I just finished.
Yeah, I didn't know whether the other gentleman wanted to talk.
No, I'll be talking about education later. Thank you.
So what are we? We're seeking solutions, but but we're also looking at where are we going to begin to build our foundation.
How can I build a foundation?
Could you tell me again, how old did you say your son is?
My son's 40. He's not a child.
Oh, okay.
He has had a mental issue since he was 3 years old.
Okay.
I have
and
dealt
so
with
this. You're having trouble with gang balance? You're being threatened with gang balance now, Penny?
Yes. The Crips and the Bloods. I got a assigned seat when I went to see my son. I've never been assigned a seat ever. I was told I had to go and do Western Union, what name to put it under. The person
you said you got an assigned seat.
Yes, ma'am. Assigned
okay,
seat.
This is
so
scary.
The other person who sat next to me actually was a mother, but her son was also one of the Crips.
And she passed you the note.
What?
Excuse me?
And she passed you the note. Is that right? Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry. She passed you the note?
Excuse me, Mary?
I said she passed you the note?
Well, it was written down on a cell phone of what I had to do. They told my son to text my friend's cell phone of what to say and how to do it. When the person in Fort Myers picked up the money, they did not have to show an ID. I had to put a test question and what the answer was going to be.
And so after that, you saw the prison officials.
After that, I left there. I left there at 12:30. I was so upset. And I'm going, no, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm not going to do this. But I did go to the place, and I sent the Western Union. And then I come home, and I contacted the Inspector General in Tallahassee, and I let him know what happened. He told me that this is not unusual. It happens all the time. And they will come back and ask for more money. And when they do, I am to contact him first and give him the information.
So my question is, you said, was it one or the other? Was it the Crips or the Bloods, or are they partners?
I think it was together, and they were splitting the money. I'm just guessing. But then I got a phone call, not last night, but the night before, from my son, who is in confinement because of this DR thing, and he said, Mom, go pick your money up because it's yours now. So what I'm assuming, because we can't have a full conversation on the telephone, that the information that he got, you know, the tracking number and whatever, he never gave it to those people, and he went into confinement instead. He decided he wanted to go mental, so he didn't have to deal with these people.
So your son is in solitary confinement for his protection now.
Yes.
That
so
was
I'm told.
Reason.
So I'm told.
So did you go and pick up the money yet?
Well, I went to pick up the money, but the way it was done, I have no proof of who I am because it was done in somebody else's name. So I have a friend of mine. I emailed the inspector and told him what my son said when he called, that they put him in confinement, was going to give him a DR because he interrupted head count, and that he told me to go pick the money up. So I have a friend of mine who is going to go to a Western Union place and she knows the password, and she knows, you know, because there's no ID, and she's going to say the name of the person. This is the test question answer, and hopefully get my money back. If not, I'm out $85. Who cares? Or $100.
So you couldn't have done that for yourself?
You couldn't have given them the test question? I was told I could not use my name and my address.
Who told you that?
They told my son I could not use my name or my address. I guess they didn't want it traced back to my son. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry this is happening. This is really horrible to know
I
that
have been
he's
a basket
not only...
case. Yeah, I've been a basket case since Saturday. I tried with this mayor, the delegation meeting, and I talked to Senator Alan Hayes. There was a Senator Dorothy Huckle. There was Senator Charles Dean. There was a Representative Marlene O'Toole, a Representative Dennis Baxley, and Representative Clovis Watson Jr. And I went before them, and I read what I had said, because I only had 3 minutes, and no one responded to it. The only response I got was from the audience when it was over. They were like, this is terrible. This is heart-wrenching. You did a good job. Keep up the fight. But none of the senators or representatives spoke to me after that at all. And I had everything with me, held it up. I have proof right here. And they totally ignored it. They didn't ask to see
right.
it.
Of course.
So, but it sounds like to me that now we're talking about a criminal culture that is, as they call it, the 1% and the 99%. So the criminal culture is able to take your child and use your child at ransom for you to somehow allocate funds for his safety.
Mm-hmm. That's about it. That is about it.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. And after the show, if you call me at my home number, we'll try to talk about it and see what, if anything, can be done. Would you want your son to be moved to another prison?
Well, I'm hoping to get him back into Marion because they have the dog program. And my son really wants to do that, and it's very therapeutic for him. Very therapeutic for him. I talked to the inspector about it. I haven't heard from him in a couple of days, so I really don't know what's going on. And I don't want to call Lake CI and ask any questions because I really don't know what's going on at this point. My son could be dead for all I know.
Well, let's not even think that way.
Well, I'm just saying,
I'll
call
for you
just
tomorrow.
Saying, you know, I haven't
you
heard
want
a word.
Me to call for you?
Excuse me? I can call for you tomorrow.
Do you want me to call them? I could call for you tomorrow and see what their plan is to ensure their safety and put in a request for him to be moved to Marion.
You know, my son is not going to be safe no matter where he goes as long as he's got a target on his back, and that has been proven with all the places he's been in. It has proven that they can get to him when they want to get to him, and I don't know how they get to him. This is the very first time that it's always been administration. This is the very first time it has been an inmate issue. My son's never, ever had a problem with the inmates. But the way they put him in there, and I guess they're cracking down on things, and my son's in the middle of that because where these people have had cell phones and weed and things like that, the officers down there are actually getting the hiding places that these people have had for, like, say, 3 or 4 years. So my son's being the new person in there. He's the snitch. So we do have an officer down there who is taking...
So they assume that he's a snitch because he's new.
Right, and it's the way they took him. They did not take him, you know, normally they take him, like, on a bus, and there's a bunch of them that go at one time. My son was taken there in a van by himself. So automatically, he's a narc. He's a snitch. He works for the police.
So you think the prison deliberately gave that misimpression?
Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly.
More or less to target him.
Yep, I believe it wholeheartedly. Come on, when he went to Tomoka, when he got bit by the spider, they tried to give him penicillin with him being allergic to it. I mean, each place he's been, there's been some kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Some kind of issue, whether it be small or big, and it's just unbelievable the stuff that these people get away with. You know, I'm just asking for justice. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for funding. I'm not asking for, you know, all these people. There's people in there that don't have family that can help them. They have nobody.
And you know, just what you're saying, I'm also seeing the New Day slave. You don't have enough economics, but by any means necessary, because you're a mother, because you're a woman, because you're a female, because you care about your child's safety and welfare, that these suckers, blood suckers, are using him as a pawn that is affecting you emotionally. Do you have other children?
Yes, I have a daughter.
And so now you are really this New Day slave, because you're having to take care of these trifling individuals who's using you because of your love for your son, and I think that is insane.
It's more than insane.
I really do hope you can help her, because just hearing it is enough to make me need to go back to the drawing board, because I'm hearing now that the criminal system is the one that needs a movement about incarcerating and using and abusing innocent people, that especially if they have mental health issues.
When I left there, my son hugged me, and he says, "Mom, all I can do is pray that I see you again." And they're telling me if I don't do something illegal, I am dead. Hello?
Yes, there was a lot of noise.
Yes, there was. I actually told the Inspector General, and I was upset when I did it, and I said if I had a gun, I would go to the governor's house, and I would shoot him.
I wouldn't say that.
And he said, "Mrs. Sapp, do not say things like that. It's going to get you in trouble."
Right. I wouldn't say that, but I think what you're saying is that, like you said, justice for all. So it also sounds, based on what you're saying about this culture, this is that demon culture that we need to try to figure out how to save our children from going to hell in real life. So it sounds like a hazing kind of. You got to become this demonized individual while we bleed your mother dry.
Well, the way I look at it, all these inmates are in hell, and we are fighting demons.
Yes.
These demons have got to go.
Well, I'm sorry that you're going through this, and I invite you to call me after the show so that
yes.
we can examine our options a little better. We
yes,
have callers,
options.
And I appreciate you so much calling in. I'm so sorry your son is to this, but we'll try to work things, okay?
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. You know, I'm with my next caller.
Excuse me?
Next caller?
Are you speaking to me or someone else?
I was inviting the next caller to speak. Is there anyone else on the line who would like to speak?
John Laughlin, if no one. Like I said, I've been speaking the last 3 or 4 weeks, so I'm going to wait.
Okay.
So you can get ahead and speak because I'm done.
Well, is anybody else online?
Well, I'm listening. I'm on the line,
but I'm
6549.
Some more people wanted to speak, but I don't hear them. Mr. Ace, Brian was going to speak, but I don't hear them.
Yeah, I'm 6549. Is anybody else? Any other numbers there?
Numbers, but go ahead, John, please.
When you say numbers, what are you talking? Your area code?
No, the last 4 digits of my phone number. That's how Mary identifies callers.
And I see numbers calling in. And when I ask if somebody wants to speak, that's when it's time to use this airtime. And John, we would like to hear from you again. What you talk about is very relevant.
Well, today I want to talk about rites of passage. Rites of passage are what tribal societies use to bring children into adulthood.
Yes.
So if anybody's seen or knows of about Africans in particular, or tribal societies around the world, where a young man goes out and kills a lion, and then he comes back and he's celebrated as a man because that's his trial. That's his rite of passage into adulthood. The females in a tribe gather the young girls around and teach them about life, their body, and their responsibilities, and test them so that they can prove that they can be adults. And thus these young people go into adulthood with the blessing and the help of the culture. Unfortunately, these rites of passage are not present today. And incidentally, unfortunately, young people, since we don't have official rites of passage, young people who must show everybody that they're not children anymore. I mean, they have to show. This is instinctual. Do things that are antisocial in order to prove that they're not children anymore. Smoking a cigarette, stealing, doing a criminal act and getting caught or getting away with it, getting pregnant. You're not a child anymore if you're pregnant. Or if you're the father of that child, drinking. And even today, going to jail and surviving is a rite of passage. So young people can say, Billy, I went to the big house and I made it. And I got more muscles and, you know I'm not that little boy who went in. And so, unfortunately, since society does not provide these rites of passage, these young people come up with their own. Now, one of the most intelligent, and I mean this as a compliment, one of the most intelligent groups in regard to this are gangs. Gangs know that young people must show they're not children anymore. So what they do, they have a rite of passage that is called the gang initiation. In fact, what they call in tribal societies, at least what anthropologists call, the rites of initiation. They're being initiated into adulthood, both males and females, by doing these particular things. In Australia, for example, they have the walkabout. The young person is trained to survive life in the deserts in Australia. And with the help and a send-off from the adults, they go on their way on the walkabout. And they walk, and if they come back, they're an adult. If they don't, they're dead. So this is a rite of passage that everybody respects, and they're prepared for it. It's not antisocial. The children aren't stealing or doing something stupid to show they're not an adult. I mean, they're not a child, but society. Now, the Catholic Church has, I forget what that is, when the young persons, they get, you know, they're in their teenage, begin to be a teenager. I think what the Catholic Church calls that.
Confirmation.
You know, yeah. The Jewish community has bar mitzvah and mitzvah.
Right.
But society in general doesn't have official rites of passage. And gangs know this. So gangs come in to young people and provide that passage.
They pray on the weak.
But I think we have it. It's just not defined that way. When we go to school, that becomes, you know, the first, the elementary. But like you say, it's not spelled out in a rites of passage kind of way. Because first grade, the child becomes separated from what is commonly accustomed to, and then all the courses and grades start to take on to enhance the psychological and physical aspects of it. But again, like you say, those challenging pieces is what has not been translated in a way that it becomes more acceptable. Because, yes, doctors are gang, as well as any leadership of a church, they're a gang member, but it depends on whether we're talking Christian or constitutional or personal. And so you brought up a lot of valid issues around how we need to start to translate that information, that it is a confirmation of entering adulthood. Because you're right, we do not train our children about adulthood. We train them about books and arts and get a job. And there's a lot of missing elements about passion, what we want as individuals. Not everybody wants to be a parent.
You're right. I was a foster mother for 6 years. I've had many foster children. And to this day, each and every one of them call me on Mother's Day and call me on holidays.
Well, you're understanding my point. You're understanding my point, which is we need a conversation about what happens after puberty. Every puberty is natural. So how societies react to that is different. The Muslims, for example, don't have much of an adolescence. According to my research, adolescence was invented. It's a social construct. Adolescence is not for everybody. It's something that young people in particular feel they get stuck in, and they want to move on to adulthood, but they're stuck in this adolescence, and they find themselves having to do these antisocial acts. In fact, my research says that the invention of the steam engine. Hello?
Yes.
I'm here.
The invention of the steam engine by Watt in 16-something put a lot of people out of work, and those people at that time were teenagers. And so what we had is putting young people with nothing to do And so the invention of the high school in America and the invention of adolescence in America came at the same time. And today we have an adolescent subculture, which wasn't around before, with its own language, its own dress, its own culture, its own values,
yeah.
And they tolerate adults. So I'm arguing that we have to take a note from what we considered backward tribal societies. They're not backward at all. With a realistic rites of passage that gangs to help, because the consequences of them doing antisocial things in order to show their adults is harmful to society.
Yes, I
John,
agree.
Can
with
I
that.
Say something, John?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I have a friend who was in Texas. She lost her home. She has a 16-year-old daughter. I brought them to my home. This 16-year-old girl has been getting up for school by herself since she was 8. We find out that the mother, and she's here, but she likes to party. She goes out with the guys at night and drinks and leaves her daughter alone. So now I have this 16-year-old daughter living with me, which I took to Daytona Beach for the night. I bought her a turtle, just a little tiny turtle, and you would thought I bought her gold or diamonds. I check her homework every night. I kiss her goodnight every night. I say good morning to her every morning. This girl has never had love, and I told her mother 2 days ago, if you want to go party and go live with somebody, you go right ahead, but I want some kind of guardianship or whatever, because your daughter's not going with you.
All right.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
And
now, so
some African folks, African American folks I know here in my city, do African rites of passage, and they take on the African tribal rites of passage, where the young person gets a new name. They have challenges they have to do. And it's a rite. It's something. It's an initiation that they go through, and they're welcomed into adulthood. At least it's a start. But general society for white folks like me, who are not Jewish, who are not Catholic, who are et cetera, and you're right. Like driver's license at 16, that's a rite of passage. Getting into the show as an adult is a rite of passage. But we need more of an official rite of passage where the student, the young person, is tested and initiated and welcomed into the community as an adult. And so that
but
they
that's
won't
called
have
graduation. That's called graduation.
It is, but I'm arguing that that's not enough.
I agree. And I certainly appreciate all of you tuning in today and sharing your ideas. And I appreciate my friend calling in with her problem with her son who's incarcerated. And we certainly appreciate Jennifer standing in today. You did an excellent job hosting for your first time. And I just want to let all of you know how much we appreciate you. Jennifer Cobb had asked me to make the show shorter today because her host felt like she didn't want to do 2 hours. But we didn't know that the hackers were going to eat up almost 30 minutes. So unfortunately, we will go off the air in another 2 minutes. But I want to turn it back over to our temporary host for today to wrap up, because we're down to just 2 minutes. And I want to thank the audience for calling in and for listening by computer. I want you to know that this show will stay on at Blog Talk Radio, and you can share it with your friends and your groups. And let's get some more ideas about a rite of passage. I think that this needs to be a nationwide rite of passage so that our teenagers will know that we're counting on them.
to grow up and be decent people. So go ahead, host, and take us out loud.
Well, Mary and listening audience, I really appreciate the conversation, and I thank you. It's been an experience that I can add to my...
Well, we can't hear her now.
No, I hear nothing.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening, but I want to thank the audience for tuning in. We have these problems because we're so effective as human rights advocates, and we want you to know that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. So we make a human rights demand that our children be considered in their needs and that our prisoners have their human rights and dignity respected in America. God bless you, and good night.
Good night, Mary.
Good night.